the right foot, and that she can give the teachers within her building what they need, a 0.25 mentor principal. And this is an outstanding principal to start with, but their thought on that is so that she is able to provide the teachers with what they need. And I bet that's a real good sign. I had another question, comment.
Excuse me, Representative. This is something that the Eugene School District did, or the board did?
The Eugene School District.
Yeah, and what kind of a policy did they make?
Well, I don't know if it's an overall policy, if they do it for all new principals, but this particular one is going to have a retired principal actually come back, who's the interim in the school right now, and will serve on a 0.25 contract to facilitate this principal's entree into the particular school where she's going to be. And their main focus is to make sure that she can give the teachers what they need. And that's what they've said to her. I did have another question going way back, if we'll back roll here a bunch. And some of the items that are listed as being needed in order to help close the achievement gap within particular schools, the one in particular that you emphasized and that caught my attention as well is the one lowering class size in high minority schools. And I guess I would suggest that we focused almost entirely, and you and I both can wear the label of educators here for good or bad, but we focused on the schools. And I have a concern that we not take all the responsibility for that in the schools. One of the things you occasionally, if not quite often, run into is this whole thing, why are you taking money from the, used to be the average kids when you were trying to divert money to kids with special needs? Why are you taking money from my kids, it's always my kids, and giving it to those kids? And I wonder if there's any way that we can address that so that our society as a whole, and I know I'm getting kind of macro right now, that our society as a whole can realize the need for this and that the schools can feel freer to do it. Because I know, speaking from personal experience, I can remember trying to balance the hits you're taking from this group that you need to do this, and as you do that, then you take a hit from this group saying, why aren't you doing more for the college prep or something like that. Has that been a topic of discussion, though? Do you have thoughts on that, or anybody else, actually?
Senator Hartung, Representative Hobson, I've had many more of those kinds of conversations at the school district level with the local school boards, because they get that kind of pressure during, particularly during their budget development, and then also over the course of the year. And everyone wants their share, if you will. And unfortunately, sometimes it's depending on who's most organized and has the loudest voices, whether it's the strings parents or the, you know, whatever, no offense to the strings parents. But I think that at this point, that's part of the reason we need some statewide leadership. And we also need, it really helps to have some investment dollars. For example, and I think maybe one of the ways to get us over that, well, if you can't do that if you're not going to invest in my particular child's needs as well, I think the quality ed model may help a great deal, because, you know, we're literally investing in third and fifth, you know, third, actually our primary kids in learning how to read this year. And that is a state-driven leadership policy intention. You know, it was part of the educational leadership team's work, then it became part of the quality ed models team's work, and ultimately it came out as a governor's recommendation. So I think I don't think those conversations are going to go away, but I do think that one of the ways that we can better address them is try to find some good ways to create investment around the areas of a more significant need. And also, I think that part of it is we need to assure all of the kids get to a certain level of learning, and we have to make those kinds of choices around where we invest our dollars.
Okay. Other comments, questions? Thank you very much. A lot of work to be done. But
a lot of work to be done.
You know, I was thinking about what we were going to do here today on 60 Minutes. Yesterday was the Edison Project. people who spent a lot of time here when Beaverton District was looking at making Finley Elementary School Edison, and they're really doing well now. Of course, they're the biggest for-profit, but they'll have about 200 schools, which is a pretty dramatic growth. But, you know, it's still, I don't like people to say, you know, educating our children is too important to allow the public system to do it. I mean, we need to have the private schools or the for-profit people taking over. And so some way our public system must, you know, get up to speed and take advantage of what is happening, and, you know, without, you know, destroying our public system, because I think it's why this country is as great as it is. But there's got to be things that that we should be doing differently or more aggressively, and I think it relates to the quality of the teacher. There are two teachers that were interviewed that were teaching at Edison School said, why did you leave your public school system? I said, well, this is an opportunity, and we're trained, and went on, and the Edison Project people just had an IPO. They're now a public company, and also we get stock options. I like that kind of entrepreneurial thing, but I don't know how we're going to do that in the public school system other than, you know, to do our very best to raise the salaries of our teachers. But we should really pay attention to what's working for parochial, for-profit, and private schools.
Senator Hartung, I just happened to catch that segment as well, and of 60 Minutes, and thought it was interesting. And I think we do. We need to have the entrepreneurial efforts out there, and different schools have different entrepreneurial efforts that they're doing. I know that at this point, the Edison Project is not educating all kids for the level of money that we are currently doing that across the state of Oregon. But it doesn't mean that we ought not to look at some of the best practices that they're discovering and find ways to work with them as literally as partners. But not all kids will ever have those kinds of unique advantages. And what drives me around this question is how do we assure that kind of quality education for all of our kids?
You know, one thing we must do, and tell Stan this, Stan, if you're not listening.
Hello, Stan.
You know, as you know, Rod Page and Senators Smith and Wyden are really anxious to have, you know, Portland public school system have some benefits of what George W. says he expects for all of our children. And Portland is still an outstanding large city urban school district. But we need lots of help there. So do you have any RFPs out? Or?
Well, we actually do. In fact, we're just completing a grant on administrator leadership, and along with that is an attachment to serve that grant money will go to a large urban school district within the state. And we just got word last week that we will probably receive this $350,000 grant for leadership development for administrators, and that it will also come with a grant for a large urban district in our state, and we're hoping that will be Portland. We are also beginning to explore another small grant, but it's around dropout prevention, and it's coming from the federal government as well. So we have our eyes and ears open, and I do want to say, you know, Portland is a challenged school district with all of its work that to be done, but it was just identified as one of the top five urban school districts in the United States. So there are many good things going on in this school district, and sometimes we need to be careful that when we shine the light on something like an achievement gap, that we somehow don't miss the fact that there are many good things going on in that very complex school district.
Right, and there certainly are, but I would add to it, take a look at the other large city urban school districts around the country, and you don't have to be too good to be better than...
Well, that's true.
Right. But I do believe that we're doing quite well. Yes. Senator Schultz?
This is just a couple of conversations I heard recently. This morning, we met with a couple of congresspersons and talked about unemployment problems in the state, need for job training, things like that. Very serious problem, but one of the things was said there by some workers who wanted job training. They said that it was almost impossible to find a job now if you couldn't put on your application that you either had a high school diploma or a GED.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the other conversation, I remember hearing Dave Cook give a talk to the NAACP in Corvallis. And Dave said, did you know that the Department of Corrections gives more GEDs than any other institution in the state?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. But,
more than community colleges?
Yeah, more than community colleges. That's what he said. Now, maybe it's inaccurate, but
well,
my guess is it's accurate.
It's
my question has to do with the GED. Maybe there ought to be some way that we begin to try to pick up on those citizens of ours who are out there without a high school diploma, without any training, and,
mm-hmm.
and make that GED state-supported and get some sort of program that can get people a GED quickly.
Senator Trow, Mr. Chair, I have to say that we have been involved in some conversations over the last 3 or 4 months, particularly with community colleges, around that very question about how do we create literally a seamless opportunity for students that if they do drop out, what are the multiple points of entry that they can drop back in and in many cases get a GED? And I was just in that conversation about a week ago, and I think it's an essential conversation. We also know that about 69% of the people upon incarceration into the Oregon adult prison system do not have a high school diploma. So I really want to acknowledge the good work that Dave Cook and others are doing to create the accessibility to a GED program. But we need to create many more opportunities for what I call dropping back in, the multiple points of entry. And one of our goals over the next year is to really work, and particularly with our community colleges, to work in a very concerted effort around that effort. So, spurred on a bit by our Senator Gordley.
Well, Mr. Chair, if I may,
certainly.
This has just been a great conversation from where I sit. And again, thank you for your leadership in making this hearing happen. And I also want to, again, just commend the leadership of the department. Because great things are happening under the leadership of Stan Bunn and Pete Dixon and Wayne Neuberger and Merced Flores, and there's a great group of other folks over there as well who are responding and leading us into this century. And this is what's required.
Mm-hmm.
And so I commend you, I applaud you, and I'll continue to play my role.
Thank you very much, Senator. Thank you, Kate and Wayne. Thank you very much. You know, I was just reflecting on what Senator Trow said. You know, some way we must reach the young people, that 26% of the school population that drops out. You know, before they drop out, let them understand what the opportunity for a GED and a diploma is, because you know, you can't explain to them, they would not understand it. You can't really get a job unless you have that, but they can understand what the alternatives to it. So I hope you can really emphasize that part of our education offering.
I appreciate that, Senator Hartung, and we will do that. If nothing else, we can make much more information available at the high school level through our counselors and through just our teacher mentors that work with kids, and we also need to make that information available in our communities, and we can do that.
And I don't need it now, but would you identify for me the parts of the $5.2 billion where what we're talking about, we can say it's in this program or we're going to enlarge that program, because I need very positive things like that to tell people who complain that we're not getting our money's worth,
okay.
You know, $5.2 billion. So anyway, thank you very much. Is there any other business to come before the committee? Not. We are adjourned, and there is no meeting tomorrow. No meeting. That's Wednesday, right?